Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Mike Madden. He's the author, he's part of the Jack Ryan universe, and his new book is Tom Clancy Firing Point. It's a Jack Ryan Jr. novel. The book's available wherever your fine books are sold. Mike, your books always take Jack Ryan Jr. away from the campus and put him someplace and allow us to internationally travel now in a time when none of us can really travel, even domestically. So kind of set up for us what's going on with Jack Ryan Jr. this time.
Yeah, in this book it opens with Jack Ryan Jr. on vacation in Spain, literally has just gotten off of his last mission from Mark Cameron's book, where the full campus is engaged and, you know, all federal government and the big stories that Mark tells. So Jack's just getting some rest. He's always wanting to come back to Spain. He loves history, of course. He loves politics. And on his last night, he's in a bar having a good time, couple of drinks, and in comes an old friend that he knew from years ago in college and starting to rekindle maybe something. They exchange numbers, hope to see you again soon. He walks out the door, massive explosion. He runs back in, and his friend dies in his arms, whispering a single word, Sandler. And so that sets him off on a journey chasing down the terrorist killers of his friend. This is all in the context of Barcelona and Catalonia. Right now, they are in the midst of this amazing political situation. 2017, 92% of them voted for independence from Spain. And Spain said no, crushed the movement. And we Americans, right, 1776, self-determination, one man, one vote. The UN, the European Union, even the United States stood by and let it happen. So I wanted to put Jack in that context because I think it's absolutely fascinating. But while he's doing all that, his dad, President Ryan, is battling this invisible high-tech enemy who's sinking ships in the remote South Pacific. And those two stories, of course, come together.
They do amazingly come together, and it's always fascinating to me how authors can do that. But, you know, this is obviously, this story appeals to somebody who loves history and politics, as you do, because that's where your background is. I couldn't help but thinking about the Brexit when I read this stuff, and this whole idea of parts of government breaking away from larger parts of governments. What do you see as far as that has gone on internationally, not just, you know, the 1776 like you talked about, but internationally nowadays? It's a lot easier said than done, right?
Well, no question. I mean, you mentioned Brexit. I mean, they voted to leave the European Union, and here we are years later. They still haven't done it. There's all kinds of advantages to supranational organizations like the European Union or, you know, the UN. But as the COVID-19 crisis has shown us, organizations like WHO and the UN and overdependence on, for example, our drug supply from countries like China is a real disaster. And so there's this tension between the advantages of supranationalism versus, you know, local, independent self-reliance. And this is a political battle that's going to continue to play itself out over the rest of the decade and beyond. We've only seen the tip of this iceberg. Italy, Hungary, Poland, even some places in the United States are talking about independence now. It's a fascinating movement, and believe me, keep your eye on it.
You also mentioned these pharmaceuticals coming from China. This whole idea of Chinese manufactured pharmaceuticals, I'd never thought about it before I read this book. And we have a ton of pharmaceuticals that come from China, and that's a lot of control for a country, right?
It's not just control. It's also vulnerability because, you know, in theory, I mean, we're spending over $700 billion a year on national defense. Most of our attention now is being paid to China, at least at the strategic level. So in theory, if there's going to be a World War III, it's going to be with China. But then we say, but please supply us with our most sensitive electronics. Please supply us with rare earth elements that we absolutely need for things like, you know, fighter aircraft. And please, while we're at war, I hope you keep sending us, you know, antibiotics and the medicines that we need. It's absolutely ridiculous. Either they're a hostile enemy or they're not. So pick one and go with it. And that just tells you, again, the mass confusion and, frankly, the poor thinking that's done in Washington, D.C. There just isn't any clarity of thought.
We also see emerge from your book various themes about this whole idea of national loyalty, not from citizens necessarily, but from corporations. And as you sort of peel back the onion skin on that issue, what did you find as far as the loyalty that, I mean, we think of big companies like Amazon, Apple, those types of things, and their corporate, their loyalty to their Americanism, even though they're international corporations?
I'm so glad you touched on that. Not many people pick up on that. And loyalty at all levels is the theme of this book, no question. And I need to touch on that. On the one hand, you know, what should a CEO of a corporation do? Their job is to, you know, make their company profitable. And so that's their first loyalty, and I get that. But when you're an American company based in the United States, the question I'm raising is, do you have any loyalty? Do you have any responsibility for the community that has given you the opportunity, by the way, to be a corporation? So your intellectual property rights are protected by the United States government. But at the same time, you know, you might lay off 10,000 workers in the United States, throw them in unemployment, throw them into personal economic crisis, so you can go make a buck by using, for example, cheap Chinese labor, in some cases, cheap Chinese slave labor in order to make your products. There's something wrong about that. There needs to be a recommitment to, you know, I would say the United States, you know, for all of us. You know, we need to be, you know, loyal to this place because this is the place that gives us, you know, hope, it gives us courage, it gives us opportunity. It has its faults, it has its mistakes. You know, let's work on those, let's fix those. But this idea that corporations can run willy-nilly and empower our worst enemies, empower our opponents, there's something wrong about that, that the almighty dollar should not be the thing that corporations are most loyal to. And unfortunately, I'm afraid they are, even to the point of, you know, cooperating with tyrannical governments like the Chinese government.
And I think we turn our backs on it in the United States, at least at the political level, because a lot of these companies own a lot of the politicians who are in power. So with campaign finance the way it is there any way to combat this whole idea of this or to encourage loyalty when the companies themselves own the people that are in power?
Man, that's just a huge, huge question. I would say at a minimum, the more information that we have, and so that's part of the reason, for example, thank you for saying that you didn't know about the pharmaceutical issue. I believe the purpose of writing fiction for me is to tell the truth. And a great way to convey the truth is through fictional works like the Jack Ryan series. So hopefully, as people become more aware of issues, so many people became aware of the Chinese drug issue because of the COVID-19. And suddenly corporations, you know, want to bring, you know, manufacturing back home. So when you shine a light on these things, the money doesn't matter as much. The lobbying doesn't matter as much because the politicians are afraid of not getting reelected. So if we could just stay informed and stay on top of these issues, that's our best hope. Because the money's not going away from politics, ever.
I'm chatting with Mike Madden about his new Jack Ryan Jr. novel. It's Tom Clancy's Firing Point. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold. Mike, one of the things I love about reading your Tom Clancy books is, and your books in general, is the way that you develop scenes. And a lot of authors use more dialogue than to describe the scenes. You really paint us a picture as we read and fill in all the details, not just the black and white, but fill in the color as well. Does that come from your history of writing for a visual medium?
Brian, that's such a kind thing for you to say. Thank you very much. I take a lot of pride in trying to build my scenes from the visual first. And you're exactly right. I first started out writing screenplays, and so I always begin every chapter visualizing what's going to happen in the scene. I try to literally walk through it. See the colors, smell the smells, and of course, taste the adult beverages that may or may not have been fully researched while traveling overseas. So that when the reader encounters the scene, that they're getting a full sensory experience. And I think it's really important.
Well, you mentioned about the adult beverages, and you know, there's food and drink that comes up in the book, which I assume you have to experience in order to effectively document it and to, you know, describe it to the reader. But as you're over doing your international traveling, I assume you travel with family or friends or whoever, but are you the kind of traveler that takes notes on all the little things that you see and smell and taste and hear as you're walking about overseas?
Well, first of all, I think it'd be terribly irresponsible of me not to taste every food and beverage that is available to me, and certainly anything that is tasted in the book has been tasted by my research team, which is me and my amazing wife, Angela, who is my best friend, my first reader, and my best researcher. Absolutely take notes, take lots of photographs, experience everything that we can, and source many more things we experience that we can't put in the book. But that, to me, is the joy of what I do, but it's also something that I want to convey to the readers because I think they enjoy that as well. I know I do when I read other people's books.
I know you live in the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee, and I've read about this in the past, and I've heard you talk about it, that you have this amazing writing room. Can you kind of paint that picture for us? Because I'm always interested in where the magic happens.
Well, I have an Instagram account, and I mostly just do photos, and I do photos from my window. Even last night, after I did an interview, I walked out on the porch, and there's this amazing sunset that is just burning the sky in these amazing hues of pink. But if that wasn't enough, there was a double rainbow that was arcing from horizon to horizon. So I am so blessed to be in a place like the Smoky Mountains where the seasons, I've got four full seasons. I get these massive leaf-sized snowflakes that will come falling down past my window. I might get an amazing thunderstorm crashing against the glass. The bottom line is God makes it very difficult to stay focused because there's this amazing story going outside my window. And when I'm knocking my head against the story problem, it's sometimes easier to look outside and just be completely refreshed creatively. So, yeah, it's amazing. It's better than 4K television. Trust me.
I can imagine that. Now, when you're in your writing room and you're going through you're in your international mode, you've got a picture, a cafe in Spain or something like that. Are you looking at photographs that you've taken, or have you taken this all in a textual way and taking notes?
You know, a little of both. My job isn't to do sort of a National Geographic spread. I'm not trying to record all, absolute, total metaphysical reality. But mostly, if I talk about a restaurant, I have been in it. Sometimes I'll change the name because maybe they don't want their name mentioned. I might locate it on a different street corner because I need to, because that's what helps me with my story. So all my facts are always in service of the story, but I try to tell a story wrapped around the facts as close as I can get to them. So yeah, sometimes memory, sometimes the memory of a great flavor or taste. Sometimes I go back to a photograph, no question.
You've been part of this Jack Ryan novel universe, Tom Clancy universe, for I think four books now, if I'm not mistaken. Is this
right? Sure.
Okay, is this it for you in the Tom Clancy for a while?
For Jack Ryan Jr., yes. Don Bentley is taking over the Jr. series. Don came out with a book this year called Without Sanction. It was absolutely, I think, my favorite thriller novel of the last several years. He's just a very unique and original voice, a brilliant writer. I can't wait to see what he does with the Jack Ryan Jr. series.
Have you found that experience limiting for you creatively, that there's ideas that you have, but it just won't fit into this particular universe?
Well, I mean, that's true for every book. A story has its own structure. It has its own place. And you have to obey story logic on one hand. But for me, story's always been with characters. I thrive on characters. I build characters. I build them from the inside out. I know what they want and why they want it, including, for example, Jack Ryan Jr., but also for my own work. And so you have to obey those strictures. Having said that, there are a couple of rules in the Clancyverse, including the fact that Jack Ryan Jr. can never be known as the president of Jack Ryan Sr., which some readers say, well, that's ridiculous. But if Jack Ryan Jr. were as well-known, say, as Brad Pitt, it'd be kind of hard to, run around and do special ops stuff. So I understand that rule. But in Firing Point, for example, I took that limitation, if you want to call it that, and it turned into a story point. Because, how do you hide your identity in the world of information dominance and data overload? And in fact, as I'm doing my research, I discovered that government agencies and private agencies spend a lot of time scrubbing open source information networks, and not only trying to pull stuff down, but creating false identities to protect their people so they can't operate. So, again, every limitation, in fact, becomes an opportunity, right? It's like the piece of sand inside the oyster shell. You can still turn into a pearl.
Just fascinating stuff. He's Mike Madden. The book is Tom Clancy, Firing Points, the newest Jack Ryan Jr. novel. Mike, always a pleasure talking to you, and thanks for joining us again.
Brian, thank you so much. I love your interviews, and I appreciate the time and the opportunity.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.